From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. It's the largest beef recall in U.S. history. The Department of Agriculture is calling for the destruction of 143 million pounds of raw and frozen beef from a Chino slaughterhouse shut down earlier this month. But federal officials acknowledge most of the meat has probably been eaten already. Hallmark Westland Meatpacking initiated the recall voluntarily, as the federal government doesn't have the authority to order one. A handful of congressmen, including George Miller of Martinez, are calling for a special hearing into the USDA's inspection process. Harbor commissioners in Long Beach are expected to vote tomorrow on the final elements of a landmark Clean Trucks program. LA and Long Beach, together the country's biggest port complex, have been moving to force truckers to modernize their fleet and slash truck-related air pollution. The Long Beach plan promises to reduce their truck pollution by 80% within 5 years. California Senator Dianne Feinstein is sponsoring one of two bills in Congress that would ban a group of chemicals used in plastic toys. The chemicals, called phthalates, have been linked to health problems in children and pregnant women. Ed Joyce has more from KPBS in San Diego.
California and the European Union have already banned phthalates from children's toys and other infant products. The chemical compounds are added to plastic products to make them soft. New studies show the phthalates cause negative long-term health effects. Young children are especially vulnerable when they chew on teething rings and other items made with the chemicals. Dan Jacobson is with Environment California. He says phthalates mimic hormones and hurt children when they leach out.
The thing that's even more disturbing is that the new science is showing that it doesn't necessarily take a lot of this particular chemical to have an impact, a small dose of this chemical that can be really dangerous for children's development.
Several other studies have also linked phthalate exposure to premature birth and reproductive defects. But Marion Stanley with the American Chemistry Council disputes those studies.
We don't support this legislation because there isn't any scientific or medical basis to restrict the use of phthalates in these toys.
Stanley says the human studies all mention the results are inconclusive and there's no link between phthalates and human health problems. Feinstein's bill is modeled after the California and EU bans. The legislation would require manufacturers to use the safest possible alternatives to the chemicals. It also bans toys and child care products that have more than a trace amount of phthalates. For the California Report, I'm Ed Joyce in San Diego.
A year ago, San Francisco became the first city in the nation to require businesses provide paid sick days for all workers. Maine, Massachusetts, and several other states are considering following suit. Back when San Francisco adopted the policy, small business owners claimed they'd be driven under. Shia Levitt looks at how San Francisco businesses are doing 1 year out.
At a taqueria in San Francisco's Mission District, employees slice meat and use an industrial tomato chopper to prepare salsa for the lunchtime crowd. Francisco Hernandez has co-owned the El Matate Taqueria for 5 years. When the paid sick leave rule passed, Hernandez worried it might cost him so much he'd have to close down.
My biggest concern was people taking advantage of it, you know, taking time off, abusing it.
Under the law, workers now earn 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked. Hernandez had offered 5 vacation days. Now his employees accrue up to 9 sick days instead. But Hernandez plans to let employees with leftover time cash it out or use it as vacation at the end of the year. He says so far, his 10 workers have used far less sick time than he expected, just $700 of sick wages for 1 year.
I think we overreacted, even myself. I thought it was going to be, you know, it was going to be worse.
Some larger companies with regional delivery drivers or roving temp workers had to create tracking systems to make sure workers earn the right amount of leave. Craig Nelson of Nelson Staffing paid out fewer sick hours than he expected, but it cost him at least $50,000 to design the system to track the sick leave earned and spent by the 20,000 temps placed by his agency last year.
We have consultants that might work half their time in San Francisco and then half their time in another county, Marin County, right next to us. So we had to make sure that we were only accruing for those hours that they worked in San Francisco. So from a back-end perspective and ensuring that we were tracking who had eligibility, that was the difficult part about it.
The D.C.-based Institute for Women's Policy Research estimates more than 100,000 workers in San Francisco had no paid leave before the rule began, among them many temps, restaurant and fast food workers. About half of them had no vacation leave as well. Donna Levitt oversees San Francisco's Office of Labor Standards Enforcement and says overall, implementation has been smooth.
We haven't been made aware of any widespread abuse or any employers who found the costs to be something that they couldn't manage.
Business leaders across the country have opposed paid sick day mandates, fearing they could hurt bottom lines and drive businesses to take up shop elsewhere. So far, that doesn't seem to be true for San Francisco. No study has yet isolated the effect of paid sick leave on business or job growth, but the number of registered businesses in the city grew by 5,600 the last fiscal year. And many owners say they're more concerned about a recent minimum wage hike and a new employee health care ordinance. Atlas Cafe owner Bill Stone says he's paid about $200 in sick time wages each month for 20 employees, about one-fourth what he expected. But Stone says it's still another layer piled onto the city's already high business costs.
There's a payroll tax here in the city, and then there's a high minimum wage. Beginner employees, you pay $9.36, I believe. So it's kind of, it was just one more thing, you know, we're going to be able to handle this without raising our prices past what people are willing to pay.
At the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, Senior Policy Vice President Jim Lazarus says he's concerned about the cumulative costs of these mandates, especially for local businesses that compete with companies outside the city.
We're best served by common work rules. The broader geographic area that have similar benefits, similar mandates on business, make us, you know, without a competitive disadvantage. And so from our point of view, if I was telling other cities or regions in the country, deal with these issues at the state level and not at the city level.
There are reasons it still may be too early to assess the full effect of the policy. New hires don't start to earn sick time until they've worked for 3 months, and many part-time workers have not yet accrued the maximum 9 sick days. Still, some dozen states are looking to San Francisco as they consider whether to adopt similar policies. And so far, say city authorities, the model seems to be working. For the California Report, I'm Shia Levitt.
That's the California Report for Monday, February 18th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org.